Yeah, we'll get going here in a minute. So great to be here this morning. Appreciate you coming and being with us in the service. And let me say, church, I've enjoyed Friday night and yesterday and then the privilege to be back here this morning. And my heart's been stirred. I've been excited. And I've just kind of reminisced some years that's gone by when I used to pastor over here at the old church. And a lot of you folks, let me just kind of say this a word to you this morning. Never was familiar with the old church over there. You've got to enjoy this section over here. And but how God got moving. And when I came there, there wasn't that many, and they was kind of in debt. And then God saw through that and seen the church begin to grow, and people begin to just fall in love with Jesus. And we seen we was going to have to do something. And I got talking to the deacons and the trustees about, hey, we're gonna need to build a church. And got talking about some land. And some of them said, preacher, we can't do it. And I said, yeah, we can do it. God's able. I'm not, but He's able. And we got building that and working on that. And I set aside a Sunday that I was going to take an offering in a wheel bar. And to all of our surprise, it was amazing. Brother Bill, you was there. You saw that, and the Vestals and the Bentons. And old Dean was a little boy. He didn't care back then. He was riding a bicycle, riding a stick for his horse. Amen. But what a day that was! And we taken the offer. And brother, I don't know who you are. Never seen you before, but. When we got through and got all the checks and the green bills out of the wheelbar, and when I dumped the money into a half a bushel tub, it liked about that much of being full. Of just change that people sacrifice. They give. They open their piggy banks and their savings account, what they had laid back at the house in the jars. And you that enjoying this today, there was somebody back almost 30 years ago or over, that sacrificed to get you where you're at. Don't take it for granted. Fall in love with it and say, hey, we're going to keep it a-going. Oh, Dean, how excited it is. See you now, growed up here and working in the church, and all the others that used to be over to the old church, you're here today. Thank you for your faithfulness and your working and your laboring together in these days. And it makes my heart rejoice just to see what God can do and what God is doing and how that it goes on for the glory of God. So, Pastor, thank you for letting me and my wife just be with y'all in these few days of service. And what a joy. Pray for us as we travel over the country and that God would just continue to use us in these days. We can't do it like we used to, but I like to work at it. And so far as right now, in January, I was out in Texas area. I'll be up in the Richmond area in May. September, I'll be up in the Baltimore area. And an old man, 76-year-old, don't need to be a traveling like this. And so you pray for us as we travel over the country. Take your Bible, turn with us this morning over in Luke chapter 1 in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 1, and I want you to put your marker there and hold that place because I want to go to another place this morning. And so get Luke chapter 1, put your marker there, and then if you will, go back to Genesis chapter 16 this morning, 18, in chapter 18, and we'll start reading there. And then we'll go to the book of Luke. In Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1, and this is where God is going to do a great miracle. And He's speaking to Abraham and to Sarah. He said, three men is a witness that she is going to conceive a child. And so here in verse number 1, now He's talking to Abraham and to Sarah. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Moriah. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, pray thee, for thy servant. Let a little water, I pray ye, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort you, your heart, after that you shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as I have said. And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three means of fine meal. Knead it and make a cake upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young man. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf. And when he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, Is it certain? Return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was before him. And Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be that Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After that I am waxed old, shall I find pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. We see a birth here this morning in chapter 20. And out of that birth, there's a question asked. In verse number 14, is there anything too hard for God? Now catch this, she's past barren. Her womb is dead. Abraham's seed's dead. And this is the only begotten son that we have in the Old Testament. And so if you will, go with me over now to Luke chapter number 1. And we find another birth here. And I begin reading in verse number 26. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled in his sayings, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, and shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, there was a question asked in Genesis, is there anything too hard for God? And look at verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It was a question in the Old Testament. But thank God at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, He answered that question. And I want you to know that question still answers today, church, in these hours that we're in. So Isaac was a begotten son of the Old Testament. Now the Lord Jesus is the only begotten son of the New Testament. And the Old Testament is a question, is there anything too hard for God? And in the New Testament, for with God, there shall nothing be impossible. I'd like to speak to you just a few moments upon these thoughts here. There's nothing impossible with God. I'm glad, church, He's still building the church. I'm glad He's still saving souls. I'm still thrilled and excited that He's working in the hearts of the children of God. And so there's things that we face and there's things that we go through a lot of times that we don't understand. And I really don't understand what I experienced back years ago with my dad who preached across the Wilkes County area here. And I saw great revival and I saw souls saved. And seen how God worked back in those days. As I helped my dad by the finger, as a boy hauling a corn roll, my dad weaved himself across this part of Wilkes and Surrey County. And I seen revival come, and I seen churches built and hearts stirred. I've seen as high as 60 saved in a week's meeting when there's lined up across the altar. And even less numbers than that, which was yet a magnitude number. We're living a day now. It seemed like the devil's trying to move in and put a calm on and tried to slow things down. And now they're trying to turn the hearts of people as unto a knowledge of God. But I want to tell you, glory to God, God's still on the throne. He's still in the working business. And He's still in the saving business. And you and I don't have time to quit. Hey, we don't have time to hang our head. It's time to get our hearts revived and renewed. And say, praise God, it's got to do it instead of me. Amen. Woo! I already feel a little preacher coming on. Hey, we're serving a true and a living God. Go with me, if you will, back in Daniel this morning, chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, let me show you a setting here of how God had so moved in a time that it looked like God wasn't doing anything. And yet, God touched their heart. And God let them see a great move in that day. When wicked was in leadership, they knew not a true and a holy God. And brother, are we not there today? How sad it is that we see that there's more emphasis being put on Allah God today than it is on Jesus Christ as a Savior of man's soul in these hours. And if you preach Jesus and Him crucified, buried, and rose again, they won't put you out of business. Over to schools, they're saying you kids can't pray to Him. Well, let me say you can. You go in to get your food at the cafeteria, bow your head and thank Jesus for it. Amen. And if they say anything to you, come and get your pastor, glory to God. And if he can't handle it, he's going to come and get me. Amen. Oh, listen, you say you wouldn't do that, would you? Well, Mr. Hunt, the governor of the North Carolina years ago, when I was over here at Ronda, and he was going to give away $2 million for unpaid abortions and things. Hey, we got ourselves together, and we went to Raleigh. And you know what we done? We took little baby dolls with us. And we pulled the heads off and the arms and the legs off of them. And we piled them up the legislature steps. There's almost 3,000 of us there. And them things were stacked almost 3 foot deep. And we went down to the funeral home, got us a baby casket, and we sat on the porch of the legislature building, and we had a funeral service for every aborted baby. And the old governor, we called him out to look at it. And he didn't like it one bit. And so when the session in the General Assembly was taken, we had four ladies go in there with that baby casket and just walk around the wall. And never even got on the floor. Praise God, you never had to spend $2 million on that case. Amen. You say, preacher, you wouldn't do something like that, would you? I'm going to tell you something. Glory to God. It's time that we stand up in these days. It's time that we're heard and that we're seen. But it's not us. It's God that works in the matter. Now here in the book of Daniel, in chapter 3, if you will, just mark your place. Time's not going to permit me. Belshazzar, as we realize that as he's on the scene, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's on the scene now. He's in leadership, and yet he's having dreams. Getting old Daniel to come and interpret the dreams, because his magicians and his soothsayers and his outfit couldn't do anything with them. And so there were three old boys with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he'd give them a place in his kingdom there. And these old boys loved God. They knew God. And they served God. But brother, we realize that old Nebuchadnezzar, he built him a god and built him a great statue and called in all of his leaders and his officers and said, now when the music starts, I want you to bow and I want you to worship my image and my God. And so the crowds came, all of the officers came, the generals, the sheriffs, and all of them made up the cabinet of Nebuchadnezzar. And so when the music started, they fell down and they began to worship. And friend, at the time as they was a worshiping, there stood three old boys that didn't bow down. Old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they got through and these old boys hadn't bowed to his God, they brought them in and brought them before Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, these boys didn't bow. I want to tell you something, church. We need somebody to stand today. You don't have to run a big loud noise about it. Just stand. I'm telling you, when they tell your kids over to school, they got to do something that goes against our doctrines and goes against our beliefs. Hey, Dad, you ought to have enough backbone to go over and tell that principal, hey, my kid's not doing that. We had something happen in Mountain Park when I was in school. I went home and told my daddy about it. My daddy went down and told three other kids' parents about it, and they told the same story I did. And so the next morning they was in the principal's office and said, we need to talk to that teacher. And the principal said, hey, fellas, I'll take care of it. I'll call him down. I won't put up with that. I'll talk to it. My dad said, no, you won't. We're going to talk to him. Either you go get him, or we're going to go talk to him in the classroom before all the kids. They went and got that teacher and brought him down. And brother, that discussion never was brought up anymore. I'll tell you something this morning. You don't have to just blow a great big horn about it. Just do what's right. And so we see here that they brought these boys in, and the old king confronted them and said, listen, we're going to start the music again, and you're going to bow and worship my God. And if you don't, we're going to heat up a furnace seven times hotter than what we heat it. And I'm going to cast you in the fiery furnace. And brother, there come an hour, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to decide what God does going to serve. And so we see here in chapter number 3. And verse number 16. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And if he will deliver us out of thy hands, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we shall not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Thank God. I want to tell you, these old boys took a stand that morning, and they looked at the king eyeball to eyeball, and said, we're not serving a golden God, and we're not worshiping a golden God, and we're not bound to an idol God, but we're going to stand for our true and living God. And I want to tell you, free and glory to God, them old boys took a stand. But now watch it. He didn't let them get out of the furnace, but he went with them through the furnace. That's a miracle. Thank God. And I want to tell you, our God still works the same miracles today. They worked with them old boys. There's times, church, you're going to go through some things, and he ain't going to take you out of it, but thank God he'll go with you through it. Woo! That's the God we serve today, preacher. Man, you're saying, well, why does God let me go through this? Why would God let me have... Hey, you never know who's looking on, that God's getting their attention to say, hey, I'm their God. I'm the one that they worship. And I'm going to look after my children. Yeah. So let me say this morning, now you might go through some things you don't understand, but when you come out on the other side, you can understand what's taking place and what's happening. And so these boys didn't bow. They wouldn't worship. And the Bible said, and they bound them and cast them into the fiery furnace and heated it up. And even the men, Brother Pastor, took them boys and throwed them in that furnace. They was lapped up, for the fire was so hot. And yet, in that old Nebuchadnezzar, he came and looked into the furnace, and he called some of his boys and said, hey, then we just throw three in the furnace? Yes, sir, King. Well, there's four men in there. That and walking around looks like a son of God. Amen. Hey, but he said they're loose. And brother, he went up and called them out. Them old boys came out. They didn't have a smell of smoke on them. Their hair wasn't seized. Their clothes wasn't even burnt. And brother, old Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, they got a God. He's delivered them from the fiery furnace. And he said, hey, we're going to serve him. Hey, folks, we're going to worship him. I'm here to tell you, glory to God this morning. He's still God, and he's still on the throne. Woo! I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, can God do anything? Or is anything impossible for God? But over in the New Testament, through the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing impossible with God. And so we see here. Then you go to Daniel chapter 6, and old Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den. Now, from here, God dealt with old Nebuchadnezzar. He let his fingernails grow out like an eagle. And he let feathers grow out on him. And he put him on his knees and his hands. He made him eat grass like an ox.
You're right.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something. There's a deadline you can cross.
Right.
And God will deal with you.
Right.
Church, don't hang your head. It might be that we're going to have to go through the furnace that God can reveal who he is to some of the rest of you around Rhonda here. But I assure you, when you come out on the other side, everything's going to be all right. So we see he passes off in the scene, and Belshazzar comes on the scene. And old Belshazzar, a wicked. Ain't it amazing how God gave them his message? And yet they didn't carry it on to their kids. And they didn't carry it on to the next generation. And now then, we see here in chapter 6 of how that old Daniel, as he was a praying man, and walked with God, and served the Lord, and yet the Medes and the Persians came in, and they overthrowed Babylon there, and did away with old Nebuchadnezzar, old Belshazzar, and now then old Dash reigns from out of that overthrow there as being the captain. And when he gets on the scene, he realizes what a praying man old Daniel is. It disturbs him. See, they believe in the Isle of God there, and they believe in serving other gods. Do you know who the Medes and the Persians is here in the book of Daniel? It's Iran and Afghanistan. Now, who are we dealing with today? Same old outfit. Brother, I want to tell you what. It's amazing what they've given to Iran as not being our allies, being our friends, love us. But we've got a president that's letting them have the nuclear bomb. And brother, they're getting their aims toward the United States. They're getting their aims toward Israel. But I got news for you, friend. They better go back and read their history and take a little note there. Thank God, I'm glad God's still on the throne and He's still looking after us children. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe before the great tribulation, before the tribulation takes place at all, we're getting out of here as a church.
Amen.
I mean, listen, the flood didn't come until Noah got in the ark. Fire didn't come until Lot got out of Sodom. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, I mean the tribulation's not going to start until the church gets out of here. I'm glad there's a promise made to us this morning. You say, preacher, how do you believe that? God's on the throne. And I got a book here before me this morning. Thank God it's a copy of the Word of God. And He tells me that I've been saved from that hour of temptation. That hour of test. That hour of trial. And so we see how that old Daniel was taken by old Darius and got decrees signed and that he's going to have to quit praying. But you know what old Daniel did? Morning, evening, and noon, he go up and opened his window towards Jerusalem and prayed to his God. They took him, they bound him, and they throwed him in a den of lions. And said, we're going to stop him. And brother, they knew the vagrancy of those lions and the hatred of those lions and the brutality of those lions. But they throwed that man of God in with that den of lions, dear friend. And when he got in there, God give him lions lockjaw. Shut them up. I don't believe they could even growl. Amen. I believe old Daniel before bed that night, He just laid his head over on one of them and just cried out to his God and said, Lord, you're still holy.
Amen.
You're still kind. You're still loving. You're still all power. You're still all merciful. I just kind of believe old Daniel had him a little revival meeting there in that den of lions. Got up the next morning. I said good morning to them old lions. Didn't have a scratch. Didn't have a bite. Didn't have a hurt on him. Old Darius run down to the den, called out unto Daniel. And old Daniel said, everything's all right. Everything's okay. Everything's well. Got him out of the den of lions, dear friend. Now I'm here to tell you, glory to God, the message picked up. Business turned around. And I got news for you. Hey, you might not get to stay out of the den of lions, but thank God you got a God this morning, hey, who's able to go with you through the den.
Amen.
To help you.
Good.
And to watch over you. And old Daniel leaves a great message to us of what a great God he served and a God who was able. Church, God ain't going out of business. And God's not going to quit on us.
Amen.
We've been there. Hey, listen, we've experienced things. We've gone through things. I've had my mouth mashed. I've had them light up around my car, get mad at my preaching, and threaten to whoop me. And I looked at that crowd and I said, well, hey, you might do it. But I tell you, I got a God to put your lights out if you ain't careful. And I said, for you to have just a little ease and a few more days, I just advise you just move back and let me get in my car because I'm going home. And brother, 30-some of them backed up. And I got to my car and I cranked it up and I throwed my hand up at them and I drove out. I ain't seen that crowd since. Amen. Been there. I was up in Mexico, 13,000 feet up in those mountains, establishing missions, reaching them little Indians up there, brother, in those mountains, and hardly nothing to live on, just living off of the earth of the land. And was working a little village there, and I was taken hostage by a little military they had there. And I finally got away from them. The man that helped me, when he got to me, he said, "Preacher, I'm glad you walked away." Because he said, "Well, you hadn't been gone 3 minutes to the man that's waiting to give them the orders to shoot you, and you'd been a dead man. And you walked away." I'm here to tell you, we serve a big God today. You say, "What happened, preacher?" When the man that got to me explained what we were doing there, and we was bringing him a message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that army sent for me to come back, and they apologized to me. And yet in that little village today, when I go back there to preach and to conduct service in that village, they make the old Catholic priest leave. I have the whole village but myself. Oh, I'm here to tell you, we got a God who's able this morning.
Amen.
And I could go on and on this morning and share with you. And so we see here what a God we serve. And then let me jump over, if you will, just a few moments to old Jonah. Here's men that trusted God. I want you to look at old Jonah out of the will of God. Old Jonah, God come to him. And boy, here was a wicked city. He said, "I want you to go down and I want you to preach to Nineveh. And I want you to declare the word of God to them." And old Jonah, I realized that knowing how wicked it was and what a large city it was, and no doubt he felt like the task was too hard from him, and he wanted to squirm out of it. And he said, "I'll just go down to Joppa. I'll catch me a boat and go to Tarshish. Now I'll get out of this thing." It didn't work that well for him. Now let me just slow down a little bit here and just say, look, you just need to do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
And when you come to that place, it'll be a whole lot easier on you. But it wasn't on Jonah. No, sir. He went down, bought him a ticket, and going down to Tarshish, and going to get away from God, get away from that call. But it didn't work. So you know why? God prepared a great fish. And it's called a whale over in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And we realize that, or in chapter 12, and verse 39, verse number 40, how God prepared that whale for old Jonah. And boy, got into a storm. And in that storm, I mean, those shipmates and all of them was worried. They was upset. Looked like they was going to lose a ship. Looked like things was wrong. Until they decided somebody's causing this. Somebody's making this thing happen to us. And so they called them together. And the lot fell on old Jonah that he's a trouble. And Jonah just volunteered and said, "Hey, boys, we're in a mess out here. And the way to get out of this, just toss me overboard." Well, they didn't want to do that. But I'll tell you something now. In your church, you get out of the will of God, it causes a little friction in the church. It causes a little rift in the church. And then you say, "How's it going to get fixed?" It's going to get fixed when you get right with God. Amen. Nothing impossible with the Lord Jesus. And listen, it ain't worth the cost, dear friend. They tossed old Jonah overboard. That whale swallowed him, carried him down to the bottom of the sea there. And seaweeds wrapped around him. You say, "Preacher, you think old Jonah died in the belly of that whale? Them digestive juices, didn't they do something to his body and all of that?" No, he come out just as a whale man as he went in. And the Bible said he prayed in the belly of the whale. I don't believe he's dead. Said he was pulling seaweeds from out of his hair. When that old whale carried him back to shore and and vomit him up there on the sand. And oh, Jonah, glory to God, from that experience, thank God, headed down to that great city of Nineveh to preach them the Word of God. Had a great revival. Why? Because he got right with God. Let me say this morning, if you're out of the will of God, there's nothing impossible with God this morning. Oh, he'll help you today. Oh, that we can just see what a God we serve in these hours. And old Jonah had a great revival. I mean, brother, he had an excitement about him. He run into that city for one day and started preaching, repent or perish. Yep. Judgment's on the way, friend. And I'm here to tell you this morning, judgment's on the way for the United States of America too.
All right. You're right.
America's not going to get by. Did you know Rome was the greatest empire that it was? That Rome was never whipped by an army? Never was whipped as a country. But you know what happened to Rome? She is religious but lost. Where are we at today? Turned to alcohol and got drunk. And then turned to sex. When I was in Rome studying Paul's ministry in Rome years ago, they had little boys and girls out on the sidewalk, not much higher than that. And they had stacks of Playboy magazines and Playgirl magazines that high. Had them kids out on every street corner selling them. And dear friend, that's all they talked about. That's all they looked at. Them old flatbed trucks come through. And them people would come down with their jugs. And they would get that old wine and make them drunk. And you could smell it all over the city square there. Dear friend. And then, not only that, but I'm here to tell you that she began to crumble within herself. And she fell. And she's never been restored. And we as the United States is doing the same foolish thing that Rome did. What's happening? We're as a whole religious but lost today. Now we're so gloated about all of our vineyards and all of this wine making that we got. And if you hear this morning, you got one, don't get mad at me. But woe to the man that puts a bottle to his neighbor's mouth and makes him drunk. Woe to him. I realize this morning that we just don't want to mention sin. We don't sin talked about. But I'm here to tell you, these honky-tonk joints are just as crooked as they've ever been. Far as I'm concerned, the theaters and the drive-in are just as rotten as they've ever been. It ain't nothing but that hellish crowd out of Hollywood. And brother, they don't want to help you. All they want is your dollar. And they're getting it today. And how sad it is in the hours that we live. That there's more glorification on what somebody can do with a film and what they can do with activities of out of Hollywood than what the church is doing in the local community. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, old Jonah got it right. And if you hear this more now, the will of God, you can get it right. And then over in 1 Timothy chapter 15, I come to a close. Boy, I got looking at this and how my heart got excited. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, here Paul is coming down to the end of way, an old man of God. And Paul is speaking to Timothy, one of his young boys. And he's saying unto him, Timothy, preach the word. Love the people. Build the church. And let me say, friend, that's what we must do till Jesus comes.
You're right.
Just stay busy of reaching souls for Christ.
Yep.
And you know how you're going to do it? You're going to have to do it just like Jesus did, loving people. Over in John chapter 4, there was a wicked woman. Her life had been scarred and marked with sin. Until none of those women in the city would have anything to do with her. And it's a commodity over there. Water is a commodity. In John chapter 4, and when I was over there, there's all in water in to those cisterns like you'd haul gasoline to the service station. Great tractor trailer trucks. They're allotted so many gallons of water, and the women out of their section would come together and get water. This old gal, she had such a mark of sin on her to go in fellowship with her. Wouldn't have nothing to do with her. But when she come to the well that day, Jesus was sitting on the well waiting for her. And she said, "How you being a Jew ask drink of me, being a Samaritan?" Because the Jew and the Samaritans has nothing to do. Jesus just said, "If you knew who I was, if you'd asked of me, I'd give you water, you would never thirst again." She said, "Sir, the well's deep. You have nothing to draw with." And you know what he did? He just loved that old gal a little bit there. And just said, "Hey, where's your husband at?" And she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "So true. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." You know what Jesus did? He just loved her there and was so sweet to her. She couldn't understand all of it. And what he's just trying to get her to do, confess up. And you know what she did? She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right." She just confessed up. And you know what Jesus did when she confessed up? He just saved her. She went running back into the city and said, "Hey, come and see a man has told me all things." And here's a woman whose her husband's had been told, "Stay away from her, have nothing to do with her." And the next thing you know, she meets Jesus, glory to God. She's bringing the whole city out to see a man has told me all things. He'll make a change in your life today. And He'll do it loving you. He'll do it desiring you. He'll do it wanting you. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul here in verse 13, he said about himself, who was before? He said he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injustice. But obtained mercy because that I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and with love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now watch it. Whom I am chief. If you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't know if God would save me or not. He saved old Paul." And whatever you've done ain't equal up to what Paul did in his day. I don't know what yet you'd have to do to get to the level that Paul was at. But he said, "Timothy, I want you to tell the whole world He's a merciful God. He's a just God. He's a holy God." He said, "I was a blasphemer." Oh, he said, listen, can you imagine that Paul stood at the day of Stephen's stoning and held his coat as they stoned that old man of God to death. And yet God so loved Paul that He saved him, met him on the Damascus Road, going down to Damascus to persecute the church and to arrest them and put them in jail and all of that. And yet God touched him on that Damascus Road, and instead of going down and persecuting them and destroying the church, He went there and joined up with it. Amen. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing impossible with the Lord Jesus. Woo! He'll save you this morning. And you know what? He wants to save you. Oh, listen, if you're not saved, He's excited to save you like He did Paul. He's excited to save you like He did the woman at the well. He'll love you. And then if you're here this morning, He'd like to speak peace to your heart if you've been saved now the will of God. Over in John 21, old Peter had walked away from the Lord Jesus, seen Him three times from the resurrection, and said, "Boys, I go back fishing." Now what's the power of influence? They said, "And we go with you." And the Bible said they toiled all night, taking nothing. And the next morning, at the shore, one said, "Children, do you have any meat?" Now, Brother Blevins, I'm going to be fair with you. If them boys had treated me like they treated the Lord Jesus, I wouldn't have been that sweet to them. Walked out. Just walked away. Laughed at the resurrection. Scoffed at the crucifixion. Said, I'm going fishing. And just walked away. Toiled all night, taking nothing. And early that morning said, children, do you have any meat? And that little old boat couldn't have been over 8 to 10 foot wide. And yet he said, fellas, cast on the other side. Well, now what difference is it going to make? If you've been fishing on this side and go over here 8 feet and cast out on the other, what difference does that make? But they said, nevertheless. And they cast their net on the other side and caught one of the greatest catches they ever caught. And some of them said, Peter, that's the Lord. And he girded his fishing coat about him and went to shore. Now, ain't that some fella out there fishing all night naked? I mean, what a shame. And went to shore, but now watch it. Where did Peter deny him at? At the fire, at the pavement. He said, I don't know him. I'm not of him. And then he said, I go fishing. And when he come to shore, what was he? There was a coal of fires and fish laid on. And Jesus said, love me more than these. He brought him right back to the place before he walked away. He brought him right back to the place. He said, I'm going to go another direction. Hey, you might be here this morning just out of the will of God. But I'm going to tell you, he wants you to just come back right to the place where you walked away from him. And he didn't say, you rascals, you devil, how you've treated me. But he just said, children, so tenderly. Preachers, I hope I can get that in my soul like Jesus did. And love some of these old sinners like we need to love them. And some of these dear people that's out of the church and out of the will of God, see them back in the house of God and see them serving God in these last days. I just want to run by this morning to tell you over to run to Tabernacle. Thank God there's nothing impossible with the Lord. Church, trust Him. Walk with Him. Serve Him. Win souls. He's coming again. And He said even the hour when men turned to the lust of men and women to the lust of women, and when they got drunk and as they got as Sodom, got as sinful as Sodom and Gomorrah, He's coming back. Dear friend, and glory to God, we're right on the threshold of His coming. Let's walk with Him. And let's serve Him. Brother Pastor, if you will come. Father, I've tried to do my best this morning. Stir the hearts of the children of God. Lord, that you're sitting on the throne, you're not going out of business. Lord, you might not keep us out of the fire. You might not keep us out of the whale's belly.